All right, Jamal said. You can't. Where did we see each other? I'm trying to remember. Where did we run into each other?
Town hall meeting.
Town hall meeting. That's right. That's it. I don't even live in Baltimore. You know. Let's begin. Shalom aleichem. Okay. So we'll say. Tonight we're gonna do two things. We're going to finish the piece from Resh Pei Beis. Yemer Tashem, we're going to finish up the Memra. And amazingly enough, the end of Resh Pei Beis, I think, ties in very beautifully with a beautiful Vart from Rabbi Nachman on this week's Parsha. So we're up on, so if you look on the, it should be the page that says Kuf Chav Beis on the top left-hand corner, and we're literally up to the last paragraph. Vida Shekola Tzadikim Shebedar Kol Echad Ve'echadu Bechinas Roa. So remember again, I'll bring everything together because this is, you know, sometimes when you become vested in learning something, it's hard to leave it. You know, so I feel like we've been doing this one memra of Rabbi Nachman of Resh Pei Beis for, I don't know, probably 4, 5, 6 weeks already. And now, you know, it's coming to an end, but we're gonna take a little tzedel aderech with us, a little bit of shirayim. So the Rebbe says that v'dash kol tzadikim shebedar kol echad ve'echadu b'chinas roa. Every tzaddik, every righteous person of the generation has the status of a shepherd. Remember, we saw last week, Rabbi Nachman taught us that Moshe Rabbeinu Raya Mehemna is the shepherd. The shepherd is the one ultimately who sees the good in every individual, and he sees so much good and generates so much positivity that what? That he builds a mishkan. And it's through that mishkan, remember, that we saw the Rebbe said, that the tinokos shall base rabban, are sustained. The children derive their inspiration, derive their holiness from the mishkan that's built by the roa, that's built by the shepherd. Ki b'chol echad ve'echad yesh bo b'chinas Moshe. We'll say every single one of us has a little chelik of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chol echad ve'echad lefi b'chinaso, hu oseh b'chinas mishkan. Shemisham mikablim hatinokos hakhevel p'im. So we'll say, so the Rebbe says something amazing. Remember, if we go all the way back, this whole memra starts with the ability to see the good in others. Od ma'at ve'in rasha, to be able to see the good in others. Then by extension, to see the good within ourselves. If we're able to do that, and remember the Rebbe says, we're able to sing the nigun. Right? The notes of the nigun are taken from the ability to see the good in the other. And after enough time of seeing good within the other, you can become a shliach tzibur. Right? So and seeing the good within yourself, you're able to become the shliach tzibur. How to become the shliach tzibur? You take all of the notes of the nigunim and you combine them into tefillah. And then after tefillah, ultimately tefillah, also shira. Right? Azamra lelokai ba'odi. I'll sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with what? Ba'od Sheli, with the good, the additional good, that no matter what I've done in life, the knowledge that I still have some good that's uncorrupted. And the highest level, the highest manifestation of this is to become a Moshe Rabbeinu. Because what's a Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu is a person who sees the good in every single individual. Moshe Rabbeinu is the person who sees the good in every person at all times. And he generates so much positivity and so much spirituality that a Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't construct nigunim, and a Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't construct tfilos, but a Moshe Rabbeinu constructs a mishkan. And says, and that mishkan represents the totality of seeing the goodness in everyone else, seeing the goodness in myself. I'm able to construct this bastion of spirituality. And it's that bastion, it's that makom, that is able to have an influence not just on the leader, but on everyone else. He sustains the purity of the children. He sustains the Am. And so the Rebbe says, every person has the ability to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. Every person has the ability to build a Mishkan by seeing the good in the other, by seeing the good in ourselves. He goes on. Kimo kin yesh lo tinoko shefine. Nimtza sheish lechol echad ve'echad mitzadike hadar. Sach tinokos shehim mekabim heval piyam imenu. So I'll say every single person, literally translated, the Rebbe is saying is that every single person is responsible for sustaining the purity of the children, which is just another way of saying that when we each do our part to see the good in others and to see the good in ourselves, understand what we're doing. It's not just something nice. It's not just like a nice midah. We're literally sustaining the totality of existence. Kol echad le'echad lefi b'chinaso v'zeh b'chinas ma'ashom rabbeinu zichrono livracha. Shetinokos nitfasin al avon hadar sheneemar uri es kidiosayech am mishkinos haroim shemishtaknin al haroim v'zeh mishkinos haroim shemekam. I'm just going to read a little bit, then we'll translate. Shemekam heval p'em mibichinas hamishkinos sharoim dahinu atadikim shebedar shekol echad ose mishkan ach leida kolzos. The Rebbe says, here's the most important thing to remember. Dahinu ladas kol tzadik v'tzadik. Ezohem hatinokos hashayachem lo. Vekablim heim, vekama heim mekablim imenu. Veleida kala bechinos sheyesh bazeh. Vahador sheyavo mehem ad hasof. We'll say, so this is a little bit hard to comprehend, but what the Rebbe says is every single tzaddik, remember, every single tzaddik who essentially acts in the capacity as a Moshe Rabbeinu, which means that ultimately he generates Kiddush, he generates holiness, he builds a Mishkan. That Mishkan is responsible for sustaining some children. When we say children, we speak about, again, the purest of the pure. So a tzaddik knows that his avoda has helped to uplift particular children. And every tzaddik has to know which children he's uplifting. I will say, so what does that mean on a practical level? What the Rebbe is also teaching us is that the most important thing in this world is you have to have an impact. You know, people speak about leaving a legacy. You know, so it's interesting. So often when people speak about that, it's really motivated from gaiva. Right? That, you know, I'll never forget, I couldn't have been more than 10 years old. And I don't know why I remember this. I remember once seeing on the news that there was this individual who died, and a very wealthy individual, and he was known for his love for cars. And so his matseva was a Mercedes. Like the matseva, I don't know if it was an actual Mercedes cast in stone or so, whatever it was, but that was his matseva. And I remember even as a child how sad that was, right? That's your legacy, that you liked cars. That's what's left, Lidori Doros, from your life, that you liked cars. I mean, that's the best you were able to do in the 60, 70, 80, 90 years of life. So the Rebbe says, we have to have a legacy, but it's not a legacy of liking cars or of liking stuff. It's a legacy of knowing that we had an impact. And the Rebbe takes it a step further. It's not just enough to say, I'm sure I've had an impact. A person has to be able to measure their impact in life. And if I can't measure my impact, then that is a wake-up call that perhaps I'm not living effectively. Who do I influence? How am I a mashpia? How do I make the world a little bit better? You know, I'm not going to change the world, but how do I make the world just a little bit better, a little bit holier, a little bit sweeter, a little bit more light? That's the legacy. Says the Rebbe, just like a Moshe Rabbeinu who was the shepherd, he was able to say that he was able to influence the world. He had a hashbah. He was able to change things letov. That's what he did. He built a Mishkan, and he knew that that Mishkan was able to put light into the world. So ultimately, again, every single person has a little spark of Moshe Rabbeinu in him, and therefore each of us has to make sure we have a legacy as well. In the Rebbe's words, we have to know which children we are inspiring. So you can take that literally with children, but lav dafka, it's literal. What it's saying is, what's my impact in this world? And Abba said, do you know the way you have an impact? Says that is amazing. How do you have an impact in the world? In order to have an impact, you have to be a keli. You have to be a utensil. And how do you become a proper utensil to have an impact? It's this yisod. You have to see the good in people, because also, you know, klal gadol is, you know, I always find it interesting when people say, I've heard so many formulations of this. I love Torah, I love God, but I don't like Jews. Right? We've all heard formulations like this. I just want to tell you something. Push it. You have to strike it from your vernacular. You can't talk that way. Because if a person says, I don't like Jews, or I like to go places where there are no Jews around. First of all, Klal Gadol is, if you need to vacation in a place where there are no Jews around, you might need to really take a good hard look about what you're doing on vacation. That's a separate discussion. But the idea is that if you can't see the good in people, if you can't see the good in Jews, and you can't see the good in your fellow person, you're never going to have an impact. Never, because the real way to have an impact on people is to be a mashpia on others. But if you don't like people, if you can't see the good in people, then at the end of the day, what hashbah is a person possibly going to have? So the Rebbe goes on, he says, V'zeh sod, mishamar ha-rabasim v'zichornam livracha, b'mishnah, b'emes amru ha-chazen, listen to this, listen to what the Mishnah says, ha-chazen roeh, heichan ha-tinokos korim. So we'll say, this is the Mishnah Masech Shabbos. So the Mishnah Masech Shabbos actually over here is talking about a totally unrelated discussion about the ability to use the candle on Shabbos. So the Chazen is the word that the Mishnah uses ultimately, again, to refer to the Malamed, to refer to the Rebbe. So here, look how Rabbi Nachman is understanding it. Ha-Chazen roa heichan atinokos korin. The Chazan, remember, who's the Chazan in our model over here? The Chazan is the person who sees the good in every single individual. And the Chazan is the person, ultimately, again, who's able to see the good in himself, the good in others. He's one who's able to create the Nigin. He's one who's able to create the Zimra. He's one who's able to create the Tefillah. But he has to know what? Where are the children reading? In other words, where is my Hashba? What's the hashba'ah I'm having over here? Hachazon dahinu mi sheyachal lasos hanigunim shuyachal lios chazon v'shas lisfalef ne'amud hu roet v'yodea heichan atinokos korin. So we'll say the person who has a real hashba'ah is able to, the person who is able to see the good in others and in himself is able to have a real hashba'ah upon the children. The children representing the purity and holiness in this world. Hainu eitzel eze tzadikim makabim hevapiem sha'al yado heim korin v'nichnasin ba'atorak niskelel. So we'll say, so with this we finish Resh Pei Bei. So let's just bring it all together. So the Rebbe really unloads like a bombshell over here. A bombshell, because in this last piece he brings it all together. So remember, what we've established, without going through everything again, because we spent mamish weeks on it, is that number one, the yesod in life is od ma'at ve'in rasha. You have to be able to see the little bit of good, the little bit of good in every single individual, no matter how evil the individual may be. And after I'm able to do that with others, I have to do it with myself. Remember that's what the Rebbe says, mitzvah gedola lihios b'simcha tamid. How are you b'simcha tamid? How are you always b'simcha? If you always see the good in yourself. Even though I might have many things that are broken, many things that are in disrepair, but I have to strive to always see the good in myself. And if I'm able to do that, then I'm able to create the Nigin. And from the Nigin, I go to the Zemer. And from the Zemer, I go to the Tefillah. And then I have the ability to be the Chazan, the Shliach Tzibor. But Rabbi will say, all of this is necessary. Why? Because we have a simple Tachlis in this world. The Tachlis we have in this world is to have a Hashbah. I'll say we're supposed to influence the world. We're not supposed to be bystanders in life. We're not just supposed to sit back and enjoy the ride and have a good time and let everyone else do the heavy lifting. We're supposed to be mashpim. We're supposed to be individuals who are capable of having a hashpa, a positive impact and a positive effect upon the individual. But the only way to do that, says the Rebbe, is how? Is if you see the good in others, you see the good in yourself, if you're able to be the chazan. If you're able to be the Chazan, you're able to build the Mishkan, you're able to be the leader. If you're able to be the Chazan, then ultimately, again, you'll see where the Tinokos, you see where the children are, you'll be able to measure your Hashba. Well, it's an incredible, incredible Yisod. And amazingly enough, it dovetails into something that the Rebbe wrote from this week's Parsha. So take a look on the second page.
So, what will be an example of a way to measure that Hashba? Meaning in Rebbe seems to have gotten that from the fact that tzaddikin actually knows the actual kid.
Right, that he has Ashban.
So that's the idea.
So look, I think that there are different people have a Hashban in different ways. So simple people have a Hashban because they model the right kind of behaviors. Like if someone is respected in his peer group and someone conducts himself a certain way, that has a Hashban on the peer group. As Hashba on the peer group, person is a parent, and the person sets a good example for his children that has Hashba. So a person is in the workplace and they conduct themselves with Yashrus, they have Hashba. So the way to be able to measure it is, what influence are you having on your surroundings? So I think that's at least a partially measurable metric. Right? What's the impact I'm having on the world around me and on the people around me? If I can't measure it, I just have to ask myself, is it that I'm ineffective? Is it that I'm ineffective in some way? If I am ineffective, then ultimately, how do I address that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So it's yes.
Why is Hashem making it so difficult for us not to be an automatic expulsion from within of your own individual good? Why does he make you have to search for it and seek it? Why isn't it just apparent?
Oh, because, it's an excellent question. I mean, you could ask that, for anything in life. Why are all the most important things so difficult? Because that's what makes them special. You know, what makes something... If what the Rebbe was describing over here was simple and straightforward, you didn't have to labor for it, then it's no great accomplishment. I mean, if I could easily see the good in you and you could easily see the good in me, so what's the great chap? It's like nobody gives you a shkoyach for breathing, right? Nobody gives you a great job breathing, man, right? Why? because it's spontaneous, because you don't have to do anything for it. So things, meaning that your body does it itself. So things that are automatic or reflexive are important, but you don't get a shkoyach for that. The things that really make us who we are only defining aspects. I forgot my. But somebody get this on. You hear that again?
Yeah. That was a selfie.
So you hear what I mean? It's an excellent question. But at the end of the day, the things that are most important in life are the things you have to struggle for. It's just the way that it is. It's not meaningful if it's easy.
So to that extent, it is what Rebbe was talking about in terms of measuring one's hashpa. Is that directly related to that hashpa that brought about that person's particular struggle? Meaning, if a person, like Rebbe talked about this, like if a person is naturally generous, it's not his challenge per se, and he happens to be wealthy and he gives a lot of money, is that still something that you can use as like
I'll tell you, I saw an amazing Arizal. I saw this a while ago. I mentioned this in a different shir. The Arizal says, this is mamish, I found this to be mind-blowing. The Arizal says, you know, we have the concept of Gilgal, right? So, you know, it's not different than reincarnation. You're not coming back as a table, right? That's not what we believe, but we believe in the idea that a neshama sometimes doesn't finish its work in this world, and so it has to come back to finish the work. So the Arizal says, so how do I know why I'm in this world? He says, find the area in life that you struggle with most, and that's what I'm here to be metaking. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The area that I struggle with most, that's the area ultimately that I did not get right in a past life. And so I'm here again to try to fix that. I'm here to try. So Yaakov, you know, if something comes easy to me, it could be that's a way for me to have an impact. Lav dafka, that's my tachlis. So if I'm generous by nature, and Baruch Hashem, I've been blessed with wealth, and there's no struggle in that, chances are that might be something nice I'm able to accomplish, but chances are that's not the reason I'm here. The reason I'm here in this world is usually something that involves struggle. You know, there's a famous story, you know, the Rav tells about his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker, that Reb Chaim said, Reb Chaim was known as an incredible Baal Chesed. That's mamish. He was extending Talmud Chacham, but also incredible Baal Chesed. So Reb Chaim said, he told his grandson, you should know, I am by nature a selfish, self-centered individual. Can you imagine this? I'm by nature a selfish individual, and I had to work on myself. I had to work on myself to be able to become someone who is a Baal Chesed. See, that's accomplishment. When you find your Achilles heel, and you say, this thing, and by the way, if you'll notice, I can't speak for myself, I'm speaking for anyone else, but I've noticed that the struggles we often have in life, it's the same struggles, if you notice, right? Rarely, like, is there something new that I'm contending with. Generally, the things that are most difficult for me in life are the things that I've been struggling with for the last 30 years. They're the same things. They may manifest themselves differently. They may present themselves differently. But the core issues are the core issues. And sometimes I spend my whole life trying to combat one core issue. And my goal is that before I leave this world, I get it right, because that's why I'm here. Somehow in a past life, I didn't get it right. And so that thing that I struggle with most, that's my tachlis. But I just want to tell you something. The reason why I found this amazing is because two reasons. Number one is everybody wonders, like, what's the purpose of life? Here it is. Find the thing you struggle with most. Find the thing you struggle with most, and that's your purpose. And number two, it helps people, I can't say people, it helps me deal with my challenges. Because if I know that I'm weak in a particular area, instead of beating myself up over why am I so weak in this area, instead it empowers me to now know what my tachlis in life is. My tachlis in life is to perfect the weakness. That's my tachlis. I'm here. Lav dafka, I'm only here for one tachlis. Could be a person that has many, many different purposes in existence. But lamaisa, the major purpose I have, Because I have to fix that thing that for some reason I didn't fix before.
So that sounds amazing. All sounds amazing. So one question about that is, I think going back to the perspective of trying to have the impact on Earth, if I'm able to identify a skill for me that comes naturally to me, so let's say I'm a naturally great public speaker, I realize the biggest impact I could have by taking that public speaking skill and using that for good, wouldn't that be better to take that thing which comes easy and leveraging that as opposed to potentially taking something which doesn't come as well and you won't have the great as great.
So the beautiful part is it's not an either or. It's not either or. Remember, the notion of having hashba versus being metak in the areas that you are weakest in are not competing concepts. They're both important. So, whether it's the public speaking or whether it's the wealth, if a person has a particular gift and that gift is able to enrich the lives of others, go for it. Have the hashba, 100%. I'm sorry?
Okay.
100%. Go have the hashba, right? He was, by nature, he was an outstanding, brilliant scholar, so that's how he had his hashba. But he understood that his avoda in life was to become a Baal Chesed. So it's I know it's hard, but it's both.
Right.
It's both. I have to be a mashpia while simultaneously also fixing that thing that is my weak, that is my Achilles heel. Incredible Yisov. So we'll see. Let's tie this back to the parsha. Let's take a look at the second page over here. So remember, the pasuk in Parsha's Bo. Pasuk in Parsha's Bo says the following. So the pasuk says, "Ulezikaron beinenecha." Remember, at the end of Parsha's Bo, the Shbaruch Hu gives us the mitzvah of tefillin. So the pasuk says that this is referring to the tefillin shorosh. You shall put it as a remembrance beinenecha, between your eyes. So look what the Rebbe writes here. This is absolutely amazing. He says, "Sarech lishmar ma'od es hazikaron, shelo yipol shechacha." So it says the Rebbe, the Torah is telling us, Yibam Shalom is telling us, that there are certain things you have to remember. Because if you don't actively try to remember, what happens? You forget. And also, we know this. There are some things in life that are so important, but yet because we don't reinforce it, we forget it. Now, when we say or forget it, I don't really totally forget it. It's just vanished to some part of my subconscious that I'm no longer constantly accessing. Dahinu, bichlolios lizgar tamid, shezeh ha'olam u'over v'choli, v'sha'ikr v'atachlus ha'amadasi. So for example, I find this to be one of the hardest things to constantly keep in mind. This world is fleeting and temporal. This is not the ikr. This world is not the ikr. The olam haba is the ikr. And I will say, there's a very fine balance in this because we all believe that intellectually. This world is not the ikr. How long do we have in this world? 100 years, 100 years, 120 years, right? So the truth is, if we're lucky, 90 years, right? That's what we have. And if you look at that in the continuum of the nature of the human condition or the human experience, it's not even a blip on the radar. This can't be the ikr. This can't be the most important thing. This world, ultimately, it's our prusdar, it's our gateway, it's our hallway, it's our antechamber. This world gives us the opportunity to prepare for eternity. That's the godless of Olam Hazeh. So number one thing we always have to keep in mind is that this world is a Olam Cholif. It's a world that goes by, we repeat this theme over and over over Yamim Noram. Adam Kitzel Over. Man is like a passing shadow. He says, V'chin bepratios, tzarech tamid lahagdil es hadas b'chomach shava dibur u'maisa u'lehistakel u'lehizbonein heitev. And I will say, so that's on a we'll call on a greater level. So on a higher level, I have to always remember that this world is fleeting. That this world is not the ends. This world is the means. That's number one. Number two says that I, but on a more specific day-to-day level, I have to remember, well, it's an incredible yisod. Everything that happens to me in life contains a message from the Ribono Shel Olam. I think I mentioned this before, but Rabbi Levi Yitzchak writes, quotes the Zohar that says that if you listen very carefully, you can still, I think I mentioned this maybe even last week, you can still hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You could hear the first of the Ten Commandments that God Himself said at Har Sinai. First of all, interesting enough, scientifically we know that sound breaks down into smaller and smaller parts, but continues to travel. So the Rebbe says that you can mamish still hear the Ribono Shel Olam say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But what's the deal? What's the chab, says the Rebbe? You have to be tuned in to the right frequency. In other words, if God's broadcasting on AM and I'm on FM, I'm not going to hear a word. Not going to hear a word. The Rebbe says, the Ibn Shalom dispatches messages to us all the time. But you have to be tuned in. You have to be plugged in to be able to hear what he's saying. So the Rabbi Nachman is saying the same idea. Every single day, the Ribono Shel Olam dispatches messages to us. How does God dispatch messages to us? Through a variety of life circumstances. Everything that happens is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know, so remember, like when you were little, so in the cereal boxes, you know, you'd get the decoder ring, right? So the chap is that you need the divine decoder ring. Well, and how do you have the divine? So the divine decoder ring is my neshama. I would say, but if the neshama is not activated enough, if I'm not learning, if I'm not davening, if I'm not engaging in chesed, the decoder ring doesn't work. So all of these things happen to me in life, and I miss all of the messages because I'm not tuned into the right frequency. So every single day, I have to remember this world is a fleeting world. It's very important to sow it. Number two, I have to remember that God communicates with me constantly through the events of life, but I need to be plugged into the right frequency in order to be able to hear the message. Every day has a different message than the previous and then the next one. So we'll say every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with us. You think about this, but it's amazing. Every single day, God communicates with us. Every single day. The difference is, I have to be able to receive and to understand the message. B'chein. Sarech lahamik machshavto bazeh. Ulahagdil beinosu ulahavin mahu haremizo shemiramiz la Hashem yisparach. Liskariv ilav b'chol pam mikomokum shuhu. Ki b'chol ha'ayon b'chol ha'malachos u'b'chol. Hamekach u'memkar u'b'chol drom sheba olam. Hashem yisparach mazmin la'adam b'chol yom v'yom b'kulam yishon remazim pratim kavo elav. Let's listen to this. Everything that happens. Let's say you're at work and you close a deal. That's a message from God. Nebo says, see, here's the problem. So we often, how do we interpret the messages? Oh, I closed the deal. What does that mean? What's the message? God likes me. I didn't close the deal. What's the message?
God likes him more.
Right? God likes the other guy more. Or God doesn't like me. Let's say, you should know, I can't tell you how many people walk around with the most infantile conception of the Ribono Shel Olam. They think, when things go their way, oh, Hashem loves me. And when things don't go the way that I want, oh, Hashem doesn't like me. Silliness. So it's like a child. It's like, think about it. It's like what a child does, right? So a child goes ahead and, you know, Abba gives the child candy. Oh, Tati loves me so much. But, oh, I want to eat candy at 11 o'clock at night. And my father says, no. Oh, why do you hate me? I will say, every parent has heard that line, at least, right? Why do you hate me? Right?
Does Rebbe feel sometimes that message is disseminated, whether it be in education or that if you're good, you get a candy, if you're bad, you get a patch?
I think there are many wonderful mostos of chinuch that preach this exact message, right? This infantile type of relationship with God. Of course, meaning adults who have this flawed theology got it from somewhere. Got it from somewhere. And very often they got it from the Rebbe or they got it from their Mora, who are very well-meaning people themselves. But you have to understand something. You know, in most places, you know, we don't expect teachers to be well-versed in Inyanei Hashkafa. No, we expect them to be well-versed in the material that they're obligated to teach. But to be well-versed in Hashkafa is a totally different avoda. So what happens? So listen to this. See, after that, when HaKadosh Baruch, when something goes right, every single thing that happens is a message from God. So when I don't close the deal goes south, and it doesn't. The message is not God doesn't like me. God loves us. He loves us no matter what. There's some message in there. I have to try to figure out what is the message. What is the message? It could be, the message could be, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with some part of my life. That is a possibility. But the possibility also could be that's what? I'm sorry?
It's not the right time.
It's not the right time. Right? Or it's not the right deal. Right? We'll say, how many times have we had, or we all have circumstances where I thought that this was it. This was the thing like that I needed. And then it didn't happen. And then something better or different came along later. And in retrospect, I realized that, you know what, this was better for me. Doesn't mean I didn't want the first thing. And I'll say, as we get older, we have more and more experiences like that. And then I realized the fact that it didn't go my way was not a message that God doesn't like me. It was just the message that whatever it wasn't the right time, it wasn't the right circumstance, and this was better for me. So the Rebbe says, that's Ula Zikaron. Every single day I have to remember these things. I have to remember every single moment that this world is fleeting. But say, not in a morose, like depressing, the world is fleeting, I'm going to die, this is all just a sham. You know, because that's not healthy. Excuse me. But in a healthy way, to understand that life is temporal, life is fleeting, so I need to put my time into the things, ultimately, again, that are meaningful and are good. That's my avoda. Number two, there's a divine message in everything. In everything. And I have to try to figure, I have to be tuned into the right frequency to hear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating. But watch this. Get ready. Look at the second paragraph. And with this, we're going to end for tonight. Ukedei lishmor es hazikaron es kalel. Tzarech lishmor es atzmo shalo yipol lara. Shalo yipol lara ayin. Bebechinas ulizikaron bein einecha. Hainu. Get ready for this. Says the Rebbe, yes, there are many things we have to remember every single day, like that we just spoke about. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying something very interesting. Zikaron bein einecha. I have to remember, says the Rebbe, how to use my eyes. What does it mean, how to use my eyes? So we just spent the last 5 weeks in Reish Pei Beis learning how to use my eyes. I use my eyes to look at the good of the other. I use my eyes to look at the good in myself. I use my eyes to see the good in the world. I use my eyes never to chas v'shalom begrudge someone else just because they have more or they have better than me. Says that, but that's the meaning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there are many things I want you to remember. I want you to remember the world is fleeting because I want to empower you to live a meaningful life. I want you to remember that everything that happens to you is a message from me because I want you to try to figure out what that message is. But most importantly, ulezikaron b'neinecha. I want you to always remember how to use your eyes. I want you to see the good in others. I want you to see the good in yourself. And I want you to be able to see the good in your world, because if you do that, tying this all the way back to Reish Pei Beis, then what? Then you'll be able to find the notes for the nigun. Then you'll be able to create the zmira. Then you'll be able to do the tefillah. You'll be able to be the shliach tzibur. And Amir Tashem will be zochet to build the mishkan. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. Oh, yeah.